This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Muzzle is more than an Apple MDM. Muzzle is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.mozle.com. That's business.mozle.com. Thanks to Mozle for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Welcome to Apple at Work, the podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host. This week on the show, we have a first-time guest, Mike Malone from Small Step. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bradley. Really excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, you all had some partnership announcements recently that we're going to run through. But before we get into that, just taking a step back, I always like to come up with everything is like, you know, IT teams are looking to solve problems. Nobody's looking to buy another tool. No one's looking to deploy anything new. They want to solve problems. So what problem does Small Step solve for IT teams?
Yeah. So Small Step is a device identity platform. We tie access to trusted company-owned hardware, or in the simplest terms, we make sure that your employees are doing work from their work computers.
Well, and that's in some ways not counter the opposite. That's like kind of pushing back on maybe the trend you saw over the years was like give employees access to their corporate email, their corporate documents in a controlled app on all their devices. And then but in some ways we put the pendulum back too far towards, giving access on anything at any point. I mean, I don't think you need your Google Docs stuff on your fridge. So we're having to kind of come back and be like, okay, actually what makes sense and where does, device verification roll up with a zero trust posture? I mean, because that's right. The thing I talked about this on the previous show is zero trust is like not a product you buy. It's a mindset you have to get into. So you all, there's a term on your website. It's Acme Device Attestation. That is a lot of acronyms. Acme DA. What is that, and why is that different than what most teams are used to?
Totally. Yeah. So Acme Device Attestation is really the core, the foundation of our platform. It's a standard, an IETF standard. Acme is a working group at IETF, the Automated Certificate Management Environment. And some of your listeners might be familiar with Acme for web PKI certificates for your websites. There's a nonprofit called Let's Encrypt that developed the core Acme protocol, and it's for automated certificate management. Acme Device Attestation is an extension to the core Acme spec that we developed with Google, and it extends Acme to do automated certificate management for enterprise IT devices. And the thing that's really special about it is it's using cryptographic attestations from a secure cryptographic element, either a TPM, Trusted Platform Module, or in the Apple ecosystem, what Apple calls a secure enclave. So this is a coprocessor, a separate piece of silicon, and they're hardware-bound private keys on that piece of silicon that ship with your device. And we're using those hardware-bound private keys to identify and enroll at devices. And just to sort of complete the picture there, what this is replacing is a legacy protocol called SCEP, S-C-E-P, that, again, many of your listeners may be familiar with, or, even if they're not, they're probably using it because it is the protocol that really is the root of trust for identifying managed devices. And SCEP has a lot of problems. It's an old legacy protocol, but fundamentally the problem is it's password-based. So everything sort of boils down to, how am I identifying all my devices? Well, password. And, we all know what the problems are with that.
Well, I think the common misnomer, and it wasn't wrong, everything you look back in hindsight and you're like, well, we were not right, was, oh, well, in a world of SaaS apps, it doesn't matter, like, what device you log in on. And at the time, I don't think any of us like were dumb and like it was like, oh, this is actually we're going to secure that layer. But then, just a simple example of a reason you need to secure that the SSO login flow, and to make sure even those things, again, even though they're only in the web browser. Let's say, for example, I actually saw a lawsuit that happened like a couple years ago where they determined like somebody had was like changing companies and like going to a competitor and took a bunch of screenshots of Salesforce.com information about customer accounts. Again, not really something you would historically, like if this was an unmanaged device, a personal device just logging in, even if you're using SSO with multi-factor authentication. If that's not a trusted device, you can't monitor somebody taking like an abundance of screenshots within an hour. And that's something like IT teams actually need to do, because that's the I always used to say, like, the printer is your most is like your like biggest security vulnerability. And it was back when like it was in the office. And today it's going to be screenshots, because again, you really can't tell. And even past that, you kind of just need to have that like audit trail of telemetry data of like, okay, this is odd. Somebody took 3,000 screenshots in an hour when they normally take two. That's something that like needs to be known and cataloged. And again, if you don't have just to be a trusted device, you would never know that.
Absolutely. And you know, touching on a point you made earlier about BYO, like, or it's not like at Small Step we're saying BYO isn't a thing and employees shouldn't be able to access email from their phone. I mean, ultimately, that's up to an organization's security posture policy, not really, it's not one size fits all the right answer there. But that actually, in a lot of ways, creates the problem here, right? Like, moving to this zero trust SaaS architecture, we've always cared about, you know, making sure that only the right hardware can access sensitive resources. But, 20 years ago, that was achieved by having PCs on desks in an office, right? And someone would notice if you carried your gaming PC in and set it up on your desk, and would probably tell you not to do that. But now with remote work, SaaS apps, zero trust, that perimeter is broken down. With BYO, like, you know, your point on BYO, you want your employees to be able to access email and Slack from their phones, maybe, but you don't want them to be able to access your internal support systems that have GDPR scope PII from their friend's laptop at their friend's apartment, right?
No, that all makes a ton of sense.
And you know, building on that, your point about, like, we all do already care. Enterprises do care about this. Otherwise, why would they be investing in all of this endpoint technology? Why bother managing your corporate-owned laptops and deploying EDR and antivirus and all this stuff, you know, posture and health checks to your corporate-owned devices, if an employee can pivot in their chair and do work from their personal computer? It just undermines your entire, you know, endpoint security program.
Do you think there's a world, or does it make sense to, you know, certain applications in your, like, SSO, certain SaaS apps in your SSO workflow, like, you're fine for employees logging on personal devices? Like, let's say it's a, hey, we're fine if somebody, like, just wants to check their email, but, like, accessing documents, accessing AWS S3, accessing, you know, Bitbucket, those things, like, no, that actually has to be a corporate device, and segregating, like, and saying not all access is created equal, and giving and kind of having different parameters based on the device type.
That's absolutely right. So, you know, the most mature organizations that we're working with, they'll sort of categorize their resource types. One company we work with has sort of, they call it their spiciness level, right? So it's only the most spicy apps or resources where they lock it down to corporate owned. But again, like, even as a consumer, I certainly don't want, you know, an employee at a bank accessing my banking details from their personal computer, right? Like, or you know, an employee at a consumer web company accessing my records from their personal computer. So that sort of stuff, it really ought to be more restricted.
No, that I agree, and because it's not taking the pendulum the other way, where it's like, okay, we're not access. You can get access to nothing unless you're on this certain device on the corporate Wi-Fi or the corporate VPN. It's having just putting variances in there. Yeah. You know, and I wrote an article recently looking at, I referenced this on the last week's show too, that like for the longest time, particularly with Apple, it was like the thought was like, okay, if you've got device management services, like, you got enough, and that was like, oh, we get that, we're managed devices, we're secure, we're compliant. But just over the years, that's a piece of it. And you have things like this that are like, you know, yeah, this is a part of making your Apple fleet secure and also, you know, work for IT teams in a way that's like, I would argue, is easier to manage than any other platform. Obviously, you all are cross-platform as well. So you all recently announced a new integration with Jamf. Can you talk to us about what that integration unlocks?
Yeah, so we've always been, you know, close partners with Jamf, and we're really excited to really take, you know, that relationship further here at Black Hat, where we're announcing, you know, we have booths right next to each other on the floor, and beginning to roll out some announcements around some product integrations and joint solutions. But fundamentally, you know, the reason Jamf is important is, as you stated, it's the management platform for your Apple devices. It's really, you know, the preeminent management, Apple management solution. And that dovetails really nicely with what we're doing with device identity. We rely on Jamf to help automate the configuration and deployment of the credentials, and to sync, you know, through Apple's device enrollment program, sync the trusted inventory of company-owned and trusted devices. So our solutions work really, you know, tightly together to achieve this sort of seamless automated experience, both for operators, you know, the people who are deploying this, and for the end users, making, you know, if we're doing our jobs correctly, this is all completely invisible to the end users.
Well, no, I think that comment is very true. Like, if this is set up in a way you actually, if people are using the devices as they should, and you deploy something like Small Step, you really shouldn't. It's, again, it's invisible in the background. It should just, you know, kind of continue letting you do your job. It's if you're trying to stay outside of the bounds of what you're supposed to be doing, then it's like, then it becomes like kind of an immediate blocker.
Exactly. So as long as you're doing what you ought to be doing, you'll never see us. And if you do something that you're already not supposed to be doing, then you'll find out that the technology is in place. Yeah.
Do you think there's a world where, again, so I guess the first question is, how critical do you think the secure enclave has been, and that stays local on the device, how critical has that been to Apple's adoption in the enterprise?
Oh, I think it's been huge. Look, Apple has some really smart security people, clearly, and I think it's, you know, it's an important part of their consumer strategy, security and privacy. I've always been very impressed with their technologies there, and I think the secure enclave has really, it's a real differentiator for Mac in the enterprise. Absolutely. They were first movers there. Microsoft, you know, followed behind a few years later by requiring TPMs in Windows 11. But the design of the secure enclave is really top notch in terms of the security characteristics. I think it's essential not just to things like what we're doing with device identity, but also full disk encryption, for example, is absolutely dependent on that trusted cryptographic coprocessor.
Do you think there's ever a world where, and I'm just spitballing here, like I'm thinking of, again, employees want to be able to work wherever. Obviously, IT and security have their goals. To say, hey, I will install something like Small Step on my personal phone, on my personal computer, and give limited access in exchange for a certain level of access of, you know, I guess give limited visibility into my personal device so that I can get limited access to corporate documents. Is that something you think even remotely makes sense in a zero trust world?
Bradley, it's like you have it's like you've seen our roadmap. We actually are rolling out solutions exactly as you've described with customers already, and the problems there I think are pretty well understood. You know, you do like I said, the nuance is I want my employees to be able to access certain resources from their personal devices. I want them to be able to access email and Slack from their phones, right? But I don't want them to be able to access PII from their phones, and I don't want them to be able to access email and Slack from their friend's laptop. They should be able to access it from their phones, but not from just any old computer, which presents an identity challenge because you need to somehow identify these sort of employee-owned devices. And in many cases, you know, the obvious answer, the way that we do that in a streamlined fashion for corporate-owned devices is via MDM. But at many organizations, that's a non-starter because employees don't want to put their personal devices under management. And what we recommend there is, just as you've indicated, a lighter touch, lighter weight, identity-only solution. And we have the workflows, the integrations, and the endpoint technology to allow your users to self-enroll or with administrative approval, say, like, here, this is my phone. And by deploying our endpoint tech, we have sort of a lightweight mechanism for identifying that device, but without the deep management controls and visibilities that employees are objecting to when a device is under full management. That is an area, again, where like the posture and policies vary from organization to organization. Some organizations just have their employees enroll everything in MDM. We support that as well. But we do see a lot of orgs picking up this sort of like lighter touch approach.
Well, because I think what you really want to see, and again, it's you know, it used to be device was king. Then we became like identity was king, and now we're kind of coming back to the middle where like it's actually a mixture of both. We want to know a little bit about the device and where you're accessing, but also that it's the right person, we think, too. So that's where those technologies kind of merge together. And again, I mean, just a simple example, like on your phone, like if I'm allowing you to access corporate data on your phone, like I want to know what version of, let's say if it's an iPhone, I want to know what version of iOS you're on. And do you have a passcode / Touch ID? Like that seems like easy things to want to verify. And Apple can give companies a way to verify those things in a way that doesn't expose like my personal text messages, my personal photos to the company.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we see ourselves as an identity security company, right? Users are not the only thing that need to be identified in an enterprise environment. And our entire platform is designed to be, you know, Okta for devices, right? With all the integrations and workflows and foundational technology to build that identity substrate, that sort of identity fabric for your devices, which is, again, critical to zero trust. You want to identify users, but you also need to know what devices the user is using, and just so that you can write any policy, you know, whether it's a BYO policy or a corporate-owned policy, device identity is still critical. It's interesting that the mindset of IT security right now, as soon as you say it out loud, you know, when we're talking to customers, they're like, yeah, like that, why haven't I thought about it that way? They, you know, and rather than thinking in terms of sort of identity first approaches to device identity, a lot of organizations are thinking sort of in terms of enforcement points, like VPN. They'll be like, I have device identity. I have a VPN. But how are devices identifying themselves to VPN?
Right. It's like eventually you work that chain back far enough and you have to, there's a fundamental problem that like various technologies can't answer. And that's why there's like, it's all a layered approach. And it's not like you can say, again, it goes back to what we said in the beginning, zero trust is not a solution you buy. Like it's a posture your organization takes, and it's going to require layers of services on top of each other. And different organizations are going to need different things. And really it could even boil down to of who's accessing, like, you know, and zero trust for an engineering team looks different than zero trust for accounting.
Yes. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. I mean, so, one of the use cases that, we work with a lot, for example, is SSH, which is, you know, absolutely essential for DevOps and engineering teams. And, you know, most accounting teams have no idea what it is, right? Very specific requirements and technologies necessary to enable that use case.
Yeah, I agree. Again, layered approach. Sure. Mike, this has been a great talk. I know this when this comes out, Black Hat will be over, but I hope you have a great show. I'm not there this year. Black Hat, it's fun, but Vegas in the summer is not my ideal place because it is always super, super hot. I remember one year I was there in June and it was so hot, like they were worried about the wheels melting on the runway. So Vegas can be brutal in August. But again, Small Step brings some crucial tools to today's IT teams. Again, you're going to be, you know, you've got a mixture of devices, you've got a mixture of approaches, you've got a mixture of ways you have to secure your environment. Small Step can play a critical role in that. So Mike, thanks for coming on the show, and we'll talk to everybody next time.